Here we go, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net. 1900 hours, 7 p.m. local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. The net is conducted every second Tuesday. Let's see, how are we going to reword this? Anyway, second and fourth Tuesdays. There you go. Conditions permitting, this repeater is only owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio and all technology. Gateway to spark interest and various aspects of technology and radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alright, the only announcement I have is, well, I've got a couple here. First off, there's an ongoing CERT class this week up here in Big Bear. Good news. I guess they got about 12 or 13 members there going through the CERT training. And that's about it. Other than we have a lot of great news with the repeater, that's actually part of our topic tonight. Alright, but let's call our roster, starting with my great friend down there in Lucerne Valley, if he's out there, KA6CIA, George. Not hearing George out there this evening. Alright, well, let's see, I have WA6ITC, Rod. Rod, how about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands?
No, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. Thanks for checking in and making sure my radio works. Okay, let's see. How about KJ6KDL Jim, KJ6KDK Rosemary?
KJ6KDL here, KDK just around the corner.
Jim, good deal. Hope you can listen out. Chime in whenever you want to this evening, not a problem. Appreciate you being out there. All right, W6GZI, let's see if we have Frank. Frank, how about KI6IQA Kelly? Moving on to K6GBL, Ron Green Valley. D6PL, Harold.
D6PL.
Good evening there, Harold. Thanks for being out there. Let's see, how about KJ6RAY? Is Ray out there?
Good evening, Tom and Jeanette. KJ6RAY.
And good evening there, Ray. Sounds like you're mobile. Glad to have you out there joining us. K6LCS, let's see, do we have Quint? No Quint this evening, how about KJ6PYB, Dave?
Good evening, Tom Lynette, KJ6PYB, checking in.
Good, glad to have you out there, good, always good to hear you out there. Alright, let's see, she could be out there, we'll have W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken. Them out there this evening, that's okay. How about K6YNW Chris? Not a problem out there. Let's see if we got W6POO Chip.
Good evening, Tom. This is W6POO in Palm Springs. Back to you.
And good evening there, Chip. Glad to have you out there. All right, how about KD6LN Bill? always done barbecuing and eating those steaks.
No, I'm not barbecuing, but I am eating. 86, all I had.
Well, glad to have you out there, and I'm sure you'll have stuff to say this evening, which is good. That's good. All right, let's see. Not sure if he's out there. Let's try KJ6QYN Shelley in Apple Valley. Nothing heard there. How about AE6CK Victor, Santa Fe Springs?
Comment group, Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
And Victor, glad to have you out there. That means you're still working. You work late, I know. well, that's okay. Good to hear you out there. Hope to see you soon. KA6ROD, Rod Moonridge. Nerd, let's see, W6JET, Rob.
Setting that, W6JET.
Hey there, Rob, got your email, and yeah, there was a number numerical error on my part. Sorry about that. Yeah, looked good. Thank you very much. Real quick, when are you headed up?
It just depends when we're going to do it.
Well, see you soon. We don't have anything on the schedule, you know, in the next week, so hang in there. All right, thanks a bunch. All right, let's see. Who else do I have out here? Well, that's the primary list, and not that the other is a secondary list. We have a lot of other people here. Let's see. Well, it's, wrong sheet. Okay. I know I have Zach here. Bear with me there, folks. Anyway, a lot of people we have out there check in from time to time. Some people are out there all the time. I want to thank all those, and we're going to get into that this evening. Any guests would like to check in, or people I have missed, I'm still looking for my other sheets here, and I know I have a lot of them out here. All right. Anyway, please come back to KF6Q and check in on Tech Tuesday.
HUB.
KK6HUB, Bob, glad to have you out there.
MOS on 6 Papa Foxtrot.
6 MOS, sorry, Brett. You're out there all the time, I forget. Sorry. I had somebody else in there, go ahead, Foxtrot.
We'll call 6 Papa Foxtrot as a visitor who's checking in.
Very glad to have you out there this evening. Thanks for checking in. Anybody else?
KF6KEI, Johannesburg.
Johannesburg and the Caboose Mobile. Hey, glad to have you out there. Fantastic. Anybody else?
Howdy there, Tom. This is Zach, KK6FJE. I didn't know if the dog had hit the mic or not when he jumped up on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you here. I just flipped over the sheet, and there we are. I got Bob, I got you, a couple other people on here, W2PFA, a bunch of people. Sorry about that. I need to get more organized, but anyway, how's the audio out there? How's it sound this evening?
Fine.
Roger, roger. Anybody else out there? Check in for Tech Tuesday, and all guests are welcome. We got a pretty good list here. We have probably a few latecomers coming up. What we're going to talk about this evening, now I know we had a lot of different things we talked about 2 weeks ago, good subjects, possible subjects, but I do believe it is time to talk a little bit about this repeater we're talking on, and a little bit about repeater protocol, whether it's on this repeater or somebody else's repeater, doesn't matter. And a lot of this stuff is common practice for a lot of us up here. There's a lot of newcomers out there, too, and if you've been on this repeater for some time, need to help these people, just, you know, direct them in the right direction. Let me reset. Running this net as KF6Q Net Control for Tech Tuesday, also KF6Q, President of the Big Bear Radio Club, and KF6Q FCC custodian of K6BB. I got three titles here. Isn't that incredible? Anyway, doesn't really mean squat. Just means that I'm the guy where the buck stops here. This is where it stops, and it's not a buck I can spend. And there is our idea with K6BB. Let's start with the updates of what we're doing. We've gone over part of this. Anybody out there new, we have a 440 system, which will be actually connected to this for a while. Once it's up and running, it's actually been up and running. We're adding a lot to it. And this is all thanks to the members of the Big Grand Ranch Radio Club. Believe it or not, guys, that 20 bucks you send in for a year's worth of dues really helps out. Besides the barbecues that we sponsor three times a year, that's all good. So, little plug there for the club, but I'll guarantee you that the leftover money, we want to spend it in the right direction, and this will be about the third year in a row that we're averaging about $2,000 sinking back into the repeater system for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. Let me reset. Yeah, 440 system coming up stronger online, probably about a week or two away right now. Our new pair of 446.200, good frequency pair, thanks to Steve, K6CMD, and a lot of the coordination through Scrubba that went through very quickly to get that up and running. Anyway, looking forward to some good stuff there, and we're going to definitely populate that board, as we call it. Anyway, that's what's coming up in the session there. Anyway, so, repeater protocol, what is that? Well, let's see. Okay, obviously we're all hams. Obviously we have a ham license. Obviously there are FCC regs which we need to apply. And we need to keep that in check. We always have visitors. They always seem to be behaving 99% of the time. That other 1%, best is don't give them any audience. Certain things talked about with that, do it offline. If you're one of the people that work up here with me as a repeater trustee, make the phone call. Use the Verizon. Don't do it over the air. Anyway, moving on with that, a couple things we do here on the Big Bear repeater. Basically, we try to leave a little bit of space. Obviously, you can hear the courtesy tone, you can hear the carrier hang, then it drops out. Please leave a little space in there so we don't time out. That's why, otherwise the repeater will shut off, and we can actually shut it off from remote, but, it's set up to do that after a period of time, so that's always good. KF6Q for ID, and I'll reset. Anyway, let's get in here a little bit there. I have quite a few people out there. One person that's, and a lot of you have been out here almost every Tech Tuesday, probably a few that we haven't had Tech Tuesday. I want to thank you for checking in and being out there, by the way. And KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands, are you still hanging in there listening?
Still out here somewhere.
Hey, Mike, well, KJ6FIL, by your call sign, I know approximately when you got your license somewhat, and you've been on the repeater since, and I greatly appreciate all the help you've done out here with that. How many years have you actually been out there since you got your license on the repeater here?
Out where as far as since I got my license?
Sorry, you're KJ6FIL, I'm going to say probably 2009, 2010-ish.
Sure, I got my ticket February 2010.
Very cool. Always good to have you out here on the net. And as you've been one of the regulars out there on this repeater, as have many others, even prior to that. One thing we like to do is we, of course, will space. Not picking on you. No. I'm just saying that I try to leave space. And once in a while, we all get excited and we don't leave space. But that's okay. That's normal. That happens. But, Mike, I'd say that in your experience through the years, I would say that you've probably had a lot of good experiences here. You've helped us with a lot of semi-emergency and pretty close to emergency conditions up here. Just want to thank you for all that help and keep up the good work. 2010, not too bad. Thanks again, Mike. I'll send it real quick back to you.
Thank you much. I got my ticket February of 2010. I joined two repeaters, and that's where I've been ever since. That's the ones that I've been with, and hopefully that's the ones I kind of stay with. KK6FIL.
I appreciate that. And thanks for all the help out there. Anyway, back to what we're talking about with protocol. 1% out there, and a lot of times it comes and it goes. It's there and then it's gone. Never really sticks around very long. And it won't if you ignore it and basically let it go. We get a little, what we call QRM, which is man-made interference, sometimes in the verbal form. Only so much we can do. Of course, there are a few tracking methods we have up here. Generally, most of the time, if it's not acknowledged, it goes away. And we've been very successful in that process. But if you are interested in joining our group of trackers, actually we call it, it's the a fox hunt. That's what it is, yes. Get in touch with me at my email address of kf6q@arrl.net. Always love to have help. Anyway, so like I say, once again, we will be linking up the 440 system once it's all up online, just to get some good propagation out there, good reports back. If you don't have a 440 radio, that's sorry about that. If you do, you're going to definitely enjoy the system that we're sinking a huge amount of money into, and as a club. And next year we have even bigger, well, I wouldn't say bigger plans, but more plans to upgrade even on the 2-meter side. So I'll keep plugging the funds that come in. Yeah, we try to keep that money going out to help the system. With that all said, let's see. I know we have KK6MLS out there. Brett wants to help out there. I know coming up a lot of stuff you're doing too with CERT. Brett, any thoughts or suggestions as we move forward with our club system?
So far, it's doing a great job. I'm glad we're able to get the money and upgrade everything. And I've got some ideas which I've expressed with you. And I think once things come on board, then I'll express them a little bit more to you and everybody else, and some new ideas that myself and some other members have. But otherwise, I'm going to hold off for a little bit until things get done, and I'm glad things are moving so forward to improve everything, and that's what we need to do, because talking to a lot of people in the area, we pretty much have the number one repeater so far.
Well, Brett, one thing to remember, and we're talking with a local group here, and I have actually, I know when we switched over to every second and fourth Tuesdays, a lot of people are like not sure what Tuesday we have Tech Tuesday. Sorry about that. We'll try to get it back to every Tuesday. I know things will be a lot better. But essentially, what a lot of people don't realize, Brett, is that as we speak, this is not just between you and me. We're probably 5 miles, 10 miles line of sight. Our radius, other than the mountain range, like I say, that are in the dead, create a few dead zones to the south, we have about 200-mile radius. It's like 400 miles across. And with that said, that's huge. That's like, you know, halfway up the state of California from the Mexican border. So It's huge. It's great. We have been enjoying most of this with free air, what we call free air. No other repeaters on this that are currently in use. Coordinated, we have the Mexican repeater. That's an international thing. That is what it is, and we're working with that on that. So just so you know, will you reset? That in mind of this huge radius of coverage, you know, we try to accommodate all people, and we try to keep this repeater open. The 440 system, which was a closed set before, is now going to be open. It's going to be an open set. I believe in that. A lot of the people that I work with believe in that. We don't like 440. We don't like closed repeater systems. It's just some do, we don't, and we're going to keep it open. So anyway, but anybody out there, of course, if you want to join the club, throw in $20 a year, help build on this system, just to let you know, all this money, which is huge months. We've spent about $2,000 for the last 3 years. It'll be the third year in a row, so putting that money back into stuff to help us. Let me reset. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday and the group, every second and fourth Tuesday that we can. Hopefully be back online with every Tuesday. With that said, really appreciate all the help we're getting. We're getting a lot of donated hours, and this is what a lot of people don't realize. The dollar amounts that are going out, that's stuff that we have will purchase or have purchased. And then there's the man hours. I have basically a team of five that has been helping with this. And with that said, you know, hey, it's easy to knock off an 8-hour day, and by the time we get to the repeater side, get everything done, and we've got a lot of those ahead of us. So appreciation to all of those that have donated their time, and we've had a lot donate time that we just can't take along with us. So don't think that you're not, you know, you're being ignored. There's only so many seats on the bus. With that all said, anyway, as we move ahead, we've got a lot of great plans of possible remote base up there in the mountain top. Cameras will be online. We've talked about this for years. A lot of stuff has to come in first. That is probably going to be in 2015, possibly with a multiples in line by 2016. You'll be able to see the sites from up there, very beautiful as it is. Anyway, anybody out there with any comments on what we are talking about here with the repeater, or suggestions, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Yeah, a lot of noise in that signal, but I think that was LAN.
No, sorry about that. I'm watching the big screen. I don't know if there's anything that could be done about it, but if you were monitoring this last weekend, we had a Jeep group, and not wanting to deny the Jeep groups, they use the repeaters, but when there are non-hams on the radio utilizing the repeater, is there anything that we can do about that? You know, you call them out on it, you got an ID, and then all of a sudden you got dead air.
Sometimes that's one thing to do. Obviously, we do not condone, you know, if you don't hear an ID, chances are it's an unlicensed person using the repeater, and that is strictly forbidden as FCC regs say, unless it's third party, which then again, too, that would be different. A lot of violations there. Jeep groups, any group, nobody has exclusive use of the repeater, period. It's an open repeater, and that's it. And of course, we do allow people to use the repeater. If we can get together as a trustee group, Bill, got a few people that are personal friends that are official observers for this session, And, you know, if we can grab a call sign, anybody's call sign, with that group, that's the key point, and write it down.
Okay, but if the person with the call sign is using their call sign legally, as they should, but the other person isn't, or the person with the call sign is calling the other person that doesn't have a call sign, where do we go from there?
I'm glad you asked that, because I have that answer, and unless this is somebody's got a break, I can go ahead with that. Go ahead, break, and we'll see what the break has. If that's info, say info. Don't say break, but go ahead.
That's me, Brett. Go ahead. I had something else in mind, but go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate that. Here is how this works. Okay. If you have a licensed ham communicating with an unlicensed person or a person who is not ID'd, that licensed ham who has ID'd with his call sign, provided that is his call sign, we'll have to assume that, can be fined by the FCC. Pure and simple, and it's been done. It's been in QST magazine that somebody even trying to track down an unlicensed ham, not saying that was the proper call, they got fined basically for communicating. If you are communicating with somebody on the radio, they are unlicensed, or if they do not ID, you are susceptible to being fined. But that's a rare occurrence. The person who does have a call sign has an address. You can look it up. It's on the FCC website. It is public information. And basically with that, we can turn that over to the proper authorities, and they will deal with it from there. That is, you know, write down the time that it occurred, the date, time, approximate time, and that's it. If you have the means, you can record it. That's great, too. We tend to put in the upcoming deal a digital recorder, records the repeater traffic 24/7, 365. So that'll be great, too. But anyway, Bill, that's the procedure. Get the call sign. Doesn't matter if he's IDing, he's communicating with somebody who is not licensed or is breaking the law. So, back to you, Bill.
Okay, well, you just opened up another question. If the person that is IDing himself is using a false call sign, and I call that person trying to get information or tell that person that he's, you know, in violation, blah, blah, blah. And that person's call sign is false. Well, that opened me up for doing wrong.
Okay. The short answer is no. The long answer is possible yes. And basically what you need to do is this. Okay, first off, if they're using a six section, you know, like something six, something, something, there's a good chance that, you know, it is at least a local call sign, which should be on there. Somebody's coming across with a two or a nine or a seven or, you know, it could be good too, because we have people in our club that have those single-digit designators. But numerical section or area designators. So the best thing for you to do is, if you can, you can always look it up on the ULS, their call sign, or QRZ, and get some more information for yourself. If you're, let's say if there's a K6 blank blank, you know, call sign is out there, and you think he's communicating with his buddy who doesn't have a license, write his call sign down. And you can jump in there and just say, hey, you know, we request all persons to please identify. And if the traffic stops, you've probably done the right thing and you've eliminated it. If it continues, just copy every call sign down you can, and we'll go from there.
I'm just referring back to something that happened this weekend, and things were said, or something was said, and with what you just said, you know, I'm glad I didn't go out there and open my mouth, but you know how hard it is for me to stop from doing that. And the YL has hit me. I got to back out. KD6 LAN.
Info. Info, go ahead.
6 MLS. Yeah, Tom. Bill and I heard them. I heard them more than Bill did. And it was probably my fault for not writing down the call sign, because I did hear him communicate with the person in the front Jeep that is just going by name. And I should have written it down, but I didn't think about it. But another thing is maybe, and I know it's not our job, but maybe we should start contacting some of these Jeep company or Jeep people, clubs, and just tell them, you know, if they're going to be up here, if they're going to be using the repeater, they have to have legal, licensed people using the radios only.
And you're only on a repeater output. And bang, that was the end of it. They didn't come back.
KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group. Okay, Brett copied all of yours. Harold, you were underneath him and copied only the last statement. Harold, go ahead.
What I'm saying is that if you copy call signs, and if you, most of the time they just use names. And then when they do use a call sign, it's pretty easy to hook them up together. You go on FCC database, check it on the license system. Really, they simplified that now, so it's really easy to find it. And if it doesn't match up, and if it's like one guy claimed that he was from Enclair, claimed that he was from somewhere up in the LA area, and come to find out the call sign he'd stolen was like Marysville or somewhere up around Sacramento, and he had heard a call sign going through there, apparently on a scanner, and stole a radio down here and was using it with that call sign. So if you match up names and call signs and check it on a database, at least you have some idea of where they're from and some way to contact them. AED60.
And Brad, this is basically a couple things here. You know, number one, there's a lot of Jeep clubs that have come through here, and we've actually, the ones that have hams, which is, a lot of them have hams, but they're not all hams, and they are pushing ham radio and getting these people off of CB radio to join in as ham radio operators, and basically professional amateurs, as we call it, basically, you know, doing it in the proper manner. And that's a good thing. So we don't want to just start yelling at Jeep clubs saying, hey, well, because it's not them. They're trying to get these people to, you know, to get licensed. However, they do go out in a group, and as we all know, CB, you can throw a CB radio about further than you can talk on it, and a lot of times they use this from Jeep to Jeep. But with that said, it doesn't hurt to, like I say, hopefully they're not bootlegging. That's what we call bootlegging a call sign. But write it down. We won't know unless you write that call sign down. And that's step one. Write the call signs down that you hear, and then we can go from there, because then we have an address. If it's not that person, then they need to know that somebody's using their call sign. And that's very important. Don't try to be radio cop. You can get out there and just make a couple comments. If you get out there and talk a lot, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You can get fined. It's in QST. People have been fined from trying to just keep talking to somebody who's unlicensed. Not good. Let me reset. best thing to do is make a warning. Just tell them that you represent the club or group that owns the repeater and that they need to identify with call signs. I can only monitor so much. I need all your help out there. I'm asking for all your help out there. The biggest help is write the call signs down, okay? And if you're next to a computer, look it up. See who it is. If it's somebody by the name of George, well, great, okay. Hey, such and such call sign, George, hey, you need to get your guys in line. If the guy responds to that, you know you've got him kind of nailed. Like I say, we're going to do some digital recording coming up. We've done in the past on spurts, and a lot of this stuff, just in case you guys don't get that call sign, we'll have it on record. Anyway, I'll send it back to Harold. Go ahead, Harold.
It is, like I was saying before, we had a problem here in Riverside with people that use the output of the simplex frequency, but after 2 weekends of it, someone got on and explained to them what they were doing, and they shut it off and went and found another frequency, apparently. But, if a lot of these people, you can tell a big part of how legitimate they are by the conversation, the language, the way they express themselves, especially language and things that shouldn't be discussed over radio. And if they are licensed hands, they know the rules, and normally there's a few little bunches of them, but unfortunately there's one bunch in the Inland Empire, but normally they keep within the rules and try to promote proper radio etiquette. 8060, I'll over it now.
One thing too, radio etiquette, I'd say that 99.99% of the people that use this repeater have great radio etiquette. Appreciate everybody out there that I've heard out there. Like I say, once in a while, you just can't help it. There's somebody's going to creep in there. But that's all good. So we just do the best we can do. And with, like I say, the Jeep groups, seriously, they are, I know quite a few of them, and there's a lot of different Jeep groups. There's, like, you have no idea how many clubs use the Big Bear Valley. And they think, well, the repeater works up here. They have no idea. It works, like, out, like, 200-mile radius. They have no clue. That's okay, though. We've had a lot of people come all the way up from San Diego to use this area. And I've talked with them, and they are constantly pushing to get everybody licensed. In the meantime, we don't need to bust their chops. We have to remind them that, yes, you know, you need to be licensed. Can't use this for one-way conversations either, where one guy's got a license ID and he's just broadcasting to the group. That's not legal either. So anyway, just remind them a little bit, write the call signs down so we have a reference, and we're good to go. I'm going to send it back over to Brett. Brett's not there, that's okay. But anyway, with all that said, anybody else out there, any comments on that? Please come back.
Do I ask?
Go ahead.
I have that call sign, if you want it, the one you were talking about. Would you like me to email it to you?
Hey, is it a friend of yours? Just curious.
Get these things down.
Good. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. John, you understand that we're trying to keep the repeater from getting my license yanked and the club license yanked and all that, but I do appreciate that. I appreciate all your help. Thank you. Yes, please do. Back to you.
Back into the woodwork, W6CYS.
John, appreciate that. So, anyway, with all that said, yeah, there's a lot... the Big Bear repeater, one of the few out there with clear air. We try to keep it that way. We've got great rapport with the coordinating authorities on both ends now. It's all working out good for us, and we'd like to keep it that way. And of course, one of the ways we do is by, you know, trying to cross the T's, dot the I's, and keep everybody happy. We also have a lot of friends with the ARRL Orange Section, which, for all those who don't know, the FCC truly does not run around in vans anymore. Like the olden days about 30 years ago, hey, FCC, shut it down, FCC's on the street. Kind of funny. Remember a lot of that happening back late 60s, early 70s. But anyway, with all that said, you know, the ARRL and HAMS, just people, you and me, we're the ones that kind of police the airways and keep it straight. So it's a group effort. We work as a group, and that's all great. So anyway, anybody else out there, more comments? Harold, go ahead.
After the net, you got a couple minutes. I have a couple of pieces of information on question 86.
I'm always here after that, you know that, and I welcome that, appreciate that, so that's not a problem. So, but anyway, yeah, I thought we'd just take a little time out this evening. We've had, sometimes we've had traffic up here. Remember, guys, there's so many ham radios being sold every place out there. The Big Bear repeater, because of its usage, is programmed into a lot of radios sold out there at yard sales. It's already there. People buying this stuff up, they have no clue what they're doing. And if they even get it to work, best we can hope is they have an HT, the battery goes dead, they don't know how to charge it. I think that's happened a few times. Anyway, last call for any comments or questions out there, please come back.
FGE, I got something for you, Tom.
Two people out there, I think one of them was Zach. I'll take Zach first.
You guys were all just mentioning about jeepers and unlicensed ham. You need to give Larry some more stripes about him still not getting his license.
Sad part, Zach, is I crossed paths with him. Well, we're like going opposite directions. I know his vehicle, and I wave, and the guy is, of course, I don't think he recognizes me, but I know he really wants to do it, and I know he's tried. I'd actually like to work with him. I think the best thing is, though, Zach, what we're trying to do, and one of the things we want to do is a general class up here, actually multiple nights, about five nights, and actually do the technician the same way, where we have five guys, where we actually just kind of dig in there and get everything, you know, where people understand something a little bit better. Right now, it is, for some, it's difficult to find the time, and I think this is where he's like trying to work, you know, juggle all this stuff. So there you go. I'm trying to give him every excuse in the world. Back to you, Zach.
Yeah, I'm just trying to bust his chops every time I see him doing that stuff. But actually, I might be interested in getting in on that general stuff. I keep on studying, doing all my thing, but I keep on, every time I take those practice tests, I'm like barely getting in the 65-70%. I need to study more, I guess.
No, that's what we're trying to get together. We've got a bunch of people that are sort of working on their general classification. I think if we actually got to organize in a group, and you know how hard it is to do stuff after work, you know, and you know, getting the volunteer time out there, but we're working on it, so got to get it going. I keep talking about, we've been only talking about this for about 2 or 3 years, that's all, but hopefully we can put it together. Anyway, thanks, Zach. Yeah, don't bust the chops too much, appreciate that. All right, there was somebody else in there with Zach. Station, if you're still out there, please come back.
MOS.
The Brevsky, go ahead.
Zach, go on to, I'm trying to think of the website, but go on to the No Nonsense for General. Easiest, don't get a book. I tried that route with my tech, and I went to the No Nonsense. It's real simple. Look at that for the General. If you don't have it, I'll make a copy of it for you. Tom, are we finished up about the repeater, or is there any more about the repeater besides going on with about the Jeep clubs and stuff like that?
Much, you know, well, I mean, that's pretty much. You want to change topic, or do you want to bail?
I just was wondering if there was any more follow-up on the balance of the repeater, or if you were done with that. I know we got sidetracked with the Jeep thing. That is important, too, but I didn't know if you finished up regarding about the 2-meter and the 440.
And add one more thing, and this is basically we're coordinated at high power, what they call high power. Right now we're running low power. We're coordinated at high power for the 440, and since we are, and it's a newly, the frequency pair was newly assigned to us, or transferred to us. So we want to make use of that and get that in full operation. Because we've had a 440 system for a year prior. So now that we have that, we're putting our money, our budget into that. Next year, our upgrades, as we are also coordinated as of almost a year ago, this frequency set for high power, where we were not prior. I did that by application, one of the many jobs I do, and got that approved. And what is the purpose of this? Well, the purpose of this is, with proper preamps, hopefully working with this, is that when you're out there on the fringes and the outskirts, let me reset. We're already out there. We're out there at Mountain Pass. We're out there at Pahrump. We're in Kingman, Arizona. We're down there in La Jolla. We're all the way up to Tehachapi and sometimes breaking through to Bakersfield. We're everywhere as we are, but we have clear air in this area. Meaning what? Well, that means as long as we're in operation and we're broadcasting, it doesn't prohibit, but it tends to discourage other groups from setting up to interfere with that area. So if our area is to reach out and actually overcome the south of the border interference in the local area, so be it, and that would help. We don't have to do that. We can switch that on and off. It's not a permanent thing. You can do that from down here, not being up at the top of the hill. So that would be when we do run nets, we can link the two, we can switch on the power and reach out and touch someone, and possibly that someone may decide to use a different frequency. Back to you, Brett.
Thanks, Tom. The only thing else I'd like to add is we are talking and looking into adding a class, which would be on HF for those that are technicians and generals that have not worked HF. It would be an information and training class on using HF radios, and it would be very beneficial. I jumped into it wholeheartedly and have been doing a lot of good reaching out, as I guess I could say, to other countries and stuff, and getting a lot of response. But for those who haven't had the chance of using HF, we're thinking of doing that also. Back to you, Tom.
Very good. And you know what, Brett? This is where we talk about this stuff. A lot of stuff I try to bring up to the plate here on Tuesdays. Wish I could do it every Tuesday. It's just been very busy myself lately. And what we try to do is get everybody out there. Let's get into HF. HF is it's a great area. If you're not interested, then you're not. But you know, a lot of people have no idea what it's like. It's pretty cool. Field day is like just a touch of the bug, as we call it, and it's very cool. So, yeah, Brett, I think that's a great idea. I think that's fantastic, and helps people learn a little bit more. You know, and it's all good. Thanks again for that. I appreciate that help. Back to you one more time, Brett.
And it's great to be on the net, and it's great to be up here in Big Bear and with the Amateur Radio Club. I've learned a lot. There's a lot of good people out there, and I'm still learning day by day and night by night. So back to you, Tom, and thank you very much, KK6MOS.
Fantastic, and glad to hear that. Anyway, anybody else out there, as we're getting close to closing the net, it's almost 8 o'clock. please come back with any comments to KF6Q. We will stick around after the net.
K6KDL.
Professor Jim, go ahead.
The time's running out. I know you said you were going to talk about etiquette. There were a couple of topics that I was hoping would come up, and we're running out of time on that. So instead of trying to wake that up and going into overtime, I will say one thing, and maybe it's just because, you know, as old guys, we think we see a trend in life, and maybe we don't, but sometimes we do. Back in 1970, I went through the licensing to get a CB radio license in Texas. And unfortunately, I moved because I was with my family and I was a little kid, and gave up my CB radio. And then the CB craze took off, and the movies came out, the songs came out, people bought radios, and the band just went, well, we know where. And it lost its rating, and the FCC just basically gave up on the band. And I guess if you complain enough and somebody's causing enough interference, you can get somebody in trouble. And there's power regulations that aren't being watched. And generally, it's just outlaw land now there. And with all these little cheap radios we can buy and easy for people to not get licensed, I'm just seeing a trend there. I don't know if you want to expound on that, but I would sure like to not see that happen. How about you? KJ6KDL.
Oh, this is where, yeah, the etiquette, Jim, real quick, we've got a few minutes here, we'll touch on that. One of the main things about repeater etiquette, like Jim was saying, is that it's no different than normal conversation. You know, if two people are talking, you don't just jump in between the two and start talking to one with the back, with the other person looking at the back of your head. That's, you don't do that. And on the radio, if you've got information for something that's being discussed, go ahead and say info, and limit it to info. You know, just give your info, so there you go, and get your call. You know, if you want to be part of the queue, though, or the conversation, announce your call sign, and if they want to let you join, they'll acknowledge that, and let it go. So is something to dominate and jump in and interrupt a conversation. Remember that whoever was talking is still talking. They're still out there. You know, and if it's going to go away, remember that sometimes that person needs to clear and identify at the end of his usage. There's a lot of these little things that, you know, let's not be rude out there. Let's leave some space. And always, if you're out there for quite a while, of course, we're on a net here. We're going to take this up for an hour, but we leave space for people with comments. Let me reset real quick. Set 90 is KEF6Q, Tech 2, stay in the group. You know, leave some space in case somebody's been trying to get in there and they can't get in there, especially for, you know, there could be emergency traffic. If there's flash flood warnings out, there's downpours, please don't dominate the repeater. You know, there's a lot of people that use this for information or requests for information, rock slides, road closures, just common sense. I guess that's the biggest thing, common sense. And try to be polite out there. You know, don't jump in with info and then start a QSO up and then leave somebody hanging. That's just flat rude. So with all that said, you know, behave yourself. So anyway, Jim, I don't know what I forget.
Harold, okay, I acknowledge your comment, and I'll just make this one thing. I know it gets lonely out there, but one of the things that will get me to leave the radio right away, and then it means I'm not lurking and listening for emergencies, is when somebody seems to get bored and needs to listen to the repeater beep at them over and over and over. The radio obviously works if you hear the beep, so just be courteous. Don't spend 5 minutes listening to the kerchunk sounds. I don't know what it does to the repeater, but I know what it does to my brain. Back to you, Tom, and you can acknowledge Harold.
The kerchunkers, and what kerchunkers don't know, of course, we still don't. This is more of the upcoming setup. Doppler, well, everybody knows about Doppler radar, Doppler weather and all that. There was a lookup Doppler on Google it. It basically was amateur radio. It literally locks on, there is no rotating antenna. It's the same thing they use for LoJack. The Highway Patrol use it. It's the same system, and basically it locks on to a directional heading. Immediate, one kerchunk, bam. Here, we have a lock on you, and that's it. So, and we're not out there to bust people's chops with that. You know, it's somebody, you know, it's annoying, I know, but we will be putting that in operation for other reasons. There are two systems that belong to the club. I have one here. We're setting that up this summer, if summer is still around, and the other one I think Randy has. So, two at the right location, and guess what? There's two crosshairs within 1/1000th of a second. Bam, we gotcha. Anyway, I'll go back to Harold. Go ahead, Harold.
All information on the FCC abandoning 11 meters, they didn't. But they don't enforce it anymore. A few years back, and if you really want to get in good with your local law enforcement, you go to them and demand that they do something about a CPR, because the FCC gave local enforcement over to the local cop, and they can't put you in jail for anything on a radio or anything of that nature, but I don't think there's limitations. But the basic enforcement of the FCC rule for 11 meters is given over to the local cops, so you might get in good with your local police chief by demanding that he do something about a CPR. And also I'll give you a little information that I gained over on Clara. When they have an emergency situation like a fire in the area where they're needing that repeater off and on for emergency use, if you get on and you start a long conversation, the monitor comes on and tells you, please shut it down and keep the conversations to a minimum, I guess you'd call it, because there's an emergency situation, the repeater is being used for that, it's prioritized for that, and you might do like Onyx does, but there's a permanent, but you might put a temporary 30-second beep on it, drop out, shut off, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's all good. I mean, there's a couple of things that are in the planning stage. What we have up here in our local area is that if we have somebody off the hill, all our readings show that it's off the hill. So, and that happens. Of course, a lot of area off the hill that's in 200 miles radius. But we have a few key people out there. Just got an email for somebody this evening who's listening, willing to help us with that. Very good listener out there, great guy. Talked to him also. And if he's still listening, we do PL the output, I believe. I'm not sure about the 440. Yeah, I'll have to check the output on that. But anyway, so it's all good, and you know, like I said, it's all stuff that we're working on. You have no idea how many personal hours are devoted to this. And if we get stuff accomplished each year, it just isn't ever as much as we want to. Back to you, Harold, one more time.
Well, just a comment. You know, what works in one area won't necessarily work somewhere else, but you might modify it. Onyx and Johnstone Peak, they're twin stations, and they have they're dedicated emergency, so they have a 30-second timer, and it goes off on 30 seconds, too. I used to listen over there occasionally, and very, very short conversations on that, 86 PL.
Well, one thing to add to that, the Johnson repeater as Johnson Peak, 30-second timer, it's a good thing because then people don't hang out there. Back in 2008, I knew a husband and wife were out of Barstow area, you know, off-roading and whatever, and for whatever reason, they broke down. Not sure exactly. I'm not going to say they were in Barstow itself, but out in the middle of nowhere. And one thing they could do is they got through the Johnson repeater, open, clear. I know there's repeaters in Barstow, so I don't know why they didn't use those. But anyway, used that and got a rescue off-road. So it's a good thing. Yeah, yeah, the short time out. Yeah, it definitely keeps Houston real short. Anyway, all right, let's send it out there one more time. Anybody else out there? KF6Q, before we close the net.
Question.
Question.
This is Zach, KK6 FJE. One thing I had a question is about not exactly etiquette, but proper ID. For example, whenever you call my call sign, I'm always saying Sugarloaf. Technically, I live in Sugarloaf, but if you pull my handle on the database, it actually says Big Bear City. Is that a improper way of calling my sign?
No, not whatsoever. Just announce your call sign, letter as clear as you can, and which you do. And then that's that. A lot of people only have a P.O. box, not even a P.O. box for Sugarloaf or Big Bear City or whatever. Now, as long as you do, technically, as we teach in the technician class, you are not required to ID at the beginning. There's no actual part, and this has been argued, and it's a gray area. You're not actually required to ID at the beginning of your QSO, but it's standard procedure. I'm going to call your call sign, then I'm going to call my call sign, so who I'm calling, who I am, and I'm looking for you. And then you have to ID every 10 minutes, and you do have to ID at the end. It doesn't have to actually be your exact last words, but and that's it, pretty much. Yeah, you can say you're in Nome, Alaska, but they probably won't believe you. Back to you.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. It kind of dawned on me when you guys were talking about etiquette and all that other stuff. But anyways, that was it. Back to y'all. KK6 FGE out.
I appreciate that. Glad we could help you out. Yeah, and etiquette, basic etiquette is just try to be the same you would use, hopefully, in a group situation where you've got a group of people. Keep in mind, you're not the only person out there. You may be talking to somebody that's only a mile or two away. Everybody within a 200-mile radius is hearing you, which that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you want to make sure that you remember that. It's not a private channel, and that's important. And then with that, just don't be rude. You know, if you turn on your radio, don't hit the key up button right away. Make sure your volume's up. I've done it. Everybody's done it. No, volume's down. Uh-oh. Oops. I just stepped on somebody. Didn't mean to. You know, and listen. If you can't, you know, and there you go. So, anyway, that's about it. And last call for any questions or comments. Don't hear anything out there. Glad everybody joined us this evening. Thanks for all the input. We'll get into more stuff in a couple of weeks. Glad we could all talk about this evening. It's been great for me. Hopefully it's been good for you out there too. So QST, QSQ, QST, QST. This is KF6Q, Tom Fry, Net Control, Tech Tuesday Net. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And we'll hang around here for a little bit after the net. Y'all have a good week, and keep all those emails coming out there. Thanks a bunch. KF6Q. Return the repeater back to normal use.